Countering Digital Hate. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
If you have back-to-school shopping to do, then you should make Macy's your first stop, because Macy's has back-to-school styles from brands like Nike and Jordan, must-have denim from Levi's and Good American, and now Macy's has Abercrombie Kids too. It's all in one place, all at great prices. And here's another reason to come in. If you're already at Macy's and you saved so much, you could stop by the fragrance counter and pick up something for yourself too. The best back-to-school styles are here now at Macy's.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. There I am. It is 8:06. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Wednesday, the 6th of August. We thank you for joining us on the show this morning. Cameron Eisenberg is producing on the other side of the glass here. And here's what we're going to do this morning, first part of the show. It is time to talk about Cruise the Gorge. It's coming up this weekend. It kind of snuck up on me, to be honest. But it certainly did not sneak up on our guest. Steve Hudson will be back with us again here today. We'll talk about what they've got planned for the weekend. I don't know if there'll be anything that we haven't discussed before, but it's always worth talking about again, the big Cruise the Gorge event with the Neon Cruise coming up on Friday evening. The Show in the Shade will take place on a Saturday up at Cirrhosis Park, and Sunday, the Due for Threshing Bee car show is going to be going on. So all sorts of activity for the vehicles out there, and we'll talk about that first part of the show, what they've got planned. Second half of the show, Tim Shampooley from the Next Door. He's a school administrator for them. We'll talk Claire House, and I'm sure we will also talk about Kelly Avenue School that they operate and what they do. So all that coming up on Mid-Columbia Today this morning. But first, as we always do, let's tell you about what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. In 1806, on this date, Emperor Francis II abdicated. It marked the end of the Holy Roman Empire after nearly 1,000 years. 1825, Upper Peru became the Autonomous Republic of Bolivia. In 1890, at Auburn Prison in Auburn, New York, William Kemmler became the first person to be executed via the electric chair. 1926, Gertrude Ederle became the first woman to swim across the English Channel. 1942, Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands became the first reigning queen to address a joint session of Congress, telling lawmakers that despite Nazi occupation, her people's motto remained, no surrender. 1945, during World War II, the U.S. B-29 superfortress Enola Gay dropped an atomic bomb codenamed Little Boy on Hiroshima, resulting in an estimated 140,000 deaths. 1962, Jamaica gained independence from the United Kingdom after 300 years of British rule. 1965, President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act, prohibiting racial discrimination in voting. 1991, the World Wide Web made its public debut as a means of accessing web pages over the Internet. And in 2011, insurgents shot down a U.S. military helicopter during fighting in eastern Afghanistan, killing 30 Americans, most of them belonging to the same elite Navy commando unit that had slain Osama bin Laden. Seven Afghan commandos also died. Now, as far as our days are concerned today, it is Balloons to Heaven Day today. Now, balloons are released in a symbolic gesture towards ending gun violence. It is Farm Worker Appreciation Day today, something that's very important, of course, in our area. It is National Fresh Breath Day today. I imagine that probably somebody in the toothpaste slash mouthwash industry came up with that one. It's National Gossip Day, apparently, which really you should not take part in. That's not a good thing to do. It's Wiggle Your Toes Day today. No explanation for it, just a day to wiggle your toes. A simple pleasure in life, apparently. I guess I think of that, I think maybe of being out on a sandy beach, barefoot, on a nice day on the coast, which I'm not sure today would qualify as, by the way. I'm not sure what the weather is on the Oregon coast, but if it's anything like here, I know there are some people who like it when it's kind of this cloudy, rainy sort of day on the coast. I admit, I was born in San Luis Obispo, California, Pismo Beach. My idea of a great beach experience is like the Central California coast, the sandy beaches, the warmth being a key part of that, by the way. But we have a beautiful coastline here in the Northwest. Just different. Our food and drink today, this is a great one. I think we can all get behind this. It is National Root Beer Float Day today. I have to work one of those in today somehow. That sounds like a good one. So there it is for what it's worth. May not be a whole lot, but there you go. 8:10 in the morning. We'll talk to Steve Hudson, Mid-Columbia Car Club, right after this.
Heading down the highway? Pull over at the Little Burger Shack that's been bringing the love. Twin Peaks Drive-In in Hood River. Since the 50s, we've been flipping fresh, juicy burgers, rolling patties by hand, and slinging signature sauces like nobody's business. Add your pick of fries and a malted shake, and you've got a meal worth dancing about. Drive through, walk up, or kick back on the patio with mountain views. Hungry yet? Get to Twin Peaks Drive-In. It's your little old burger shack by the airport, baby. That's where it's at.
Smiles have started here for more than 20 years. Hood River Dental is proud to grow with our Gorge community. We provide complete dental care for children and adults, general, cosmetic, Invisalign, core whitening, and advanced treatments for TMJ and airway management. Haven't had a checkup in a while? Concerned about snoring or jaw pain? We're here to help. Find us across from Jackson Park on May Street or on Belmont in Hood River. Hood River Dental, family owned. Your comfort is our priority every step of the way.
DQ presents The Sound of Happy. Hear that? That's the DQ Chicken Strip Basket. Only $7.49 for a limited time. We're talking four 100% white meat seasoned chicken strips served with fries, Texas toast, and DQ Signature Country Gravy. Yeah, you heard that right. For crunch time and no time, it can only be the DQ Chicken Strip Basket. Just $7.49 for a limited time. Get it delivered in the DQ app. Happy tastes good. At participating locations.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is now 8:13 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're happy to have with us now on the telephone from the Mid-Columbia Car Club, Steve Hudson's with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
And thank you for being with us. It is Cruise the Gorge time again. And boy, how long have we been doing this now? This has been a long time that the cruise has been going on.
Well, I was thinking that too, as far as how long I've been on the program. And
yeah.
I think it might have right back to the beginning, which would be probably 96, maybe.
Probably is somewhere in
possible.
There. Impossible. Yeah, that I never kept track of when we started anything. So I didn't think we'd be still going right now, to be honest. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah, but anyway, of course, the show goes back to, well, we started calling it Cruise the Gorge in 93, but that was basically a little downtown show. But it was 96 when we first time we moved up to the park and things really started taking off. But we've been going ever since, except for 1 year with the COVID thing. We skipped that year.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of go through it a little bit. I mean, it's got the formula that the people who love their cars love to take part in. And let's talk about the cruise. First of all, downtown in the Dalles, times are listed as 7 to 9:45. But, of course, Steve, this is what is called an open cruise, isn't it?
That's correct. We experimented with a closed cruise a few years ago, but I think overall we prefer just the good old run what you brung and do what we did back in the day. Just drive around until you get tired and then pull over and visit with people and then maybe drive around some more. But anyway, yeah, it's an open cruise. Just bring your car down and you don't have to sign up or anything.
And it runs from, again, 7 to 9:45 is technically the hours you've got listed when it runs, but it's a matter of the streets are open, so it kind of goes as
yeah,
it goes.
Yeah, no, it actually starts earlier than that, you know, and it just, those are the focus hours, and the police would like to see it pretty well shut down by 10, so that's why we designated that 9:45 cutoff.
You know, what sort of cars tend to take part in the cruise? I mean, I don't know. How many, do the show cars participate that much?
Okay. I think if you're in town and you brought your car for the show, then you'll be on the cruise. But we do have a fair amount of people who just come up for the cruise and then go home afterwards. But so I don't, you know, it's hard to get firm numbers of the cruisers because of, you know, they don't equate with what we get at the show necessarily. We get to, normally we get around 300 cars up at the park on Saturday. This year we expect, I think, quite a bit more than that since Dennis Gage is here and there's been a lot of interest in that. And so, yeah, we're anticipating more in the area of 400 cars up at the park on Saturday.
All right. You mentioned Dennis Gage. Tell us about this here. I think this is a TV show that he does, isn't it?
Yes. Dennis Gage hosts My Classic Car TV, which ironically started the very same year we started up at Cirrhosis. So this is their 30th anniversary show. And he's decided to spotlight what he's calling his greatest hits shows over the last 30 years, the ones he really enjoyed the most. And we're on that list. So we're obviously quite tickled about that. So anyway, this normally he just does a show and that's it. He's never going to be back. But this time we're going to get a double exposure. Which he was back here in 2016. And then, anyway, so he's coming back this year. He may be retiring after this year is over as far as doing new shows, but he's still involved in the TV production, and they're going to be doing a lot of stuff with it. But, it's a car-oriented show, and I think it's on Horsepower TV and Motor Trend and a couple of others.
I say, when he came in 2016, did you notice, you know, did you start getting cars from maybe places that you hadn't gotten them before after that visit?
Well, we've always had people from far, far places. We've gotten them, I think. We've got one from Alaska last year, and I've seen them. I think I see one on the registrations from Illinois. But yeah, I think it helped publicize the show, and we do have people show up from all over the place.
Yeah. Well, I know, though, again, the core of who's coming out here, the Pacific Northwest, you get a lot of good regional representation out here.
Oh, yeah, we get, of course, the vast majority of Oregon and Washington, and I just heard Jordan Taylor, who's doing a lot of our computer work, he says we've got 33% of our entries are from Washington. Just a little bit of trivia.
So a lot of folks coming from across the Columbia River to take part in the Cruise the Gorge and the the Neon Cruise, and of course, the show in the shade, the central point of this on Saturday. Going to be registering 9-11 in the morning up at Cirrhosis Park, and you mentioned you'd be expecting 400 cars. How many cars could you handle up at Cirrhosis Park? I'm starting to picture this. That's a lot.
One of the beauties of it is I think it's 20 acres or something like that, and we can accommodate quite a bit more than that if we needed to. Mm-hmm. As it is, we don't tell people where to park. We just let them in and tell them, and there's a lane that we won't keep open so people can get through. But other than that, people just pick out a spot and set up their equipment. And so it's really nice to have a venue like that where we don't have to worry about cramming people in and whatnot.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I would imagine for a lot of these folks, the way they care for these vehicles, the true classics, you don't want to be cramming vehicles in.
No. Typically you'll go to a show and of course they want to park you and sometimes you're a little uncomfortable about how close everybody's parking. Although if you're parking next to a show car, the odds of some getting a door ding are pretty remote.
If it's all show cars, you figure everybody's kind of on that edge, so everybody watches out for each other. I've asked you this before with the cars, because obviously 30 years has the makeup of the cars that are in the show. Have they changed somewhat? Do we see some newer vehicles in the show? I think when a lot of us think classic cars, we kind of automatically go back, and maybe this is a function of age, the 50s, the 60s, maybe into the 70s. But are we seeing the more modern cars get involved in this also?
Oh, of course, and we're an open event, so we don't restrict as far as age. But still, and I think it's always been this way, that the biggest bulge is in the 50s and 60s. It just seems to be those cars are new enough. They're pretty easy to drive, and it seems like the demographic kind of gravitates to those. But yes, we're seeing more and more later cars. And, of course, some of them are pretty cool. So if it's a cool car, bring it. We don't care. Interestingly, when we started the show, 57 Chevy was what 30 something years old, and now a 30 something year old car was made in the 90s.
Yeah,
and that's kind of a culture shock sometimes. So, it isn't.
Well, that's why I asked that question, because what we call classic will change as generations change, and also maybe what people are. But I would imagine though, for the folks who are the really hardcore car aficionados, and we start talking about the beauty of the vehicle, I would imagine that aesthetic doesn't change that much.
Right. No, the aesthetics are the same. And, and again, there's some newer cars that are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. And I think our oldest car this year is 1906.
Really?
So that's a pretty, and we'll get some cars that are just a year or two old, too. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a spread. Mm-hmm. But anyway, typically, again, the biggest group that I see is still in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm.
So what will you, I assume you'll be showing a car this time. What will you have out there?
Well, that's an interesting question, because just before the show last year, my Studebaker was caught in a fire in my shop.
Oh, that's too
and
bad.
It was pretty good. It wasn't destroyed, but the shop itself was burned out pretty. It got very hot, and it melted stuff and cracked stuff and bubbled stuff. So I just recently got it out of the paint shop, but it's not ready for show yet. So I won't have that car. My wife has a little 240Z that she'll be showing, but anyway.
Yeah, that's 240. See, this gets to my age. I mean, 240Zs were around when I was, a teenager, and now, now they're in the classic variety.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 73.
Yeah.
Which was
Boy, that long? Because that's younger than teenager for me. I think they were still using 240Zs though, if I remember right. As a model, probably for a number of years after that. But I didn't realize they'd.
Well, yeah. No, the Z car, they had a 240 and 70, and then changed to the 260 and 74, and then there was 280, and then they got 300s, and actually just last year they came out with a retro 400Z, which is supposed to be kind of a throwback to the original 240.
Oh,
but,
wow.
There's quite a following of the Japanese, early Japanese cars. And of course, like every other one, for a decade or two after they were made, they were just used cars.
Yeah.
But now they're highly sought after.
You've got the show in the shade, of course, Saturday morning, and 9/11's a registration, Parade of Champions Awards from 2 to 3. We should know, I think there's something going on after the show, isn't there?
Yeah, and I might back up a little bit on Friday night.
Okay.
There's a couple of things going on, but you mentioned root beer.
Yes.
This is a annual root beer day or something
root
like that?
Root beer float day today.
Oh, okay. Well, on Friday, there's going to be free root beer floats at the Neon Sign Museum downtown during the cruise, or I think just before the cruise. So if you have a hankering for a root beer float, then that would be a place to go.
There you go.
But again, on Saturday, there's a couple of things going on after our show. Then there's going to be a little cruise-in down at the 6th Street Station, which is the food cart thing on 6th Street in the Dalles. And it's just going to be kind of a low-key cruise-in, and I think there are some awards will be given away there. And then at the country club, the Dalles Golf Course Country Club, they're going to have a concert there with Hit Machine. And if you've got a classic car, they will let you park that on the green. So that's kind of cool.
Okay. And Sunday, for those who really want to extend it, as usual, Doofer's got their car show.
Yes. And, of course, the Threshing Bee itself is going on, and then the car show in the city park is part of it. And they've been doing that for many years, and it's kind of a nice wind down to the weekend. They don't get as many cars as we do, but they get a nice turnout, and it's on the grass, so it's kind of a pleasant way to round out the weekend.
And we should know, if you want to put a vehicle in the show, I believe you can register. You can either go online at midcolumbiacarclub.org, or you can go down to Burgerville on Friday afternoon, I believe.
Yes, we've taken registrations from 4 to 7. At Burgerville. If you've already registered, you can pick up your goodie bags and dash plaques and stuff at that time also. If you want to get registered before the show, you can stop by the Chamber of Commerce on 2nd Street here in the Dalles, and they can get you signed up there.
So, again, it is midcolumbiacarclub.org. You get the entire schedule for the Cruise of the Gorge weekend. Steve Hudson's been with us. Steve, thanks for doing this again. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we will come back and take a look at what's in the news right after this.
Do Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keep coming back? Tremfya, guselkumab, may help, with rapid remission achieved at 12 weeks and lasting clinical remission at 1 year. Some even saw visible improvement of their intestinal lining at 12 weeks and 1 year. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Healing is possible with Tremfya. Approximately 3 out of 10 patients were in endoscopic remission at 1 year, based on areas visualized on colonoscopy, which may not represent the deeper bowel layer or entire GI tract. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Who's got the best beer selection in the gorge?
Beer selection? I don't know. Who?
Margie's Outdoor Store, that's who.
Margie's Outdoor Store in Bingen? I love those guys. But I thought they sold...
Beer, beer, great beer selection.
Now I remember. Margie's was voted best beer selection in the Gorge.
Margie's Outdoor Store wins beer award.
Margie's is located just east of downtown Bingen.
Beer.
Hi there, I'm Sunny with Sky Heating, AC, Plumbing, and Electrical. Warmer weather is here. Let Sky take care of your HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs so you can focus on what matters most. Right now, we're offering a free service call with any repair so you can keep a little extra in your pocket. Visit skyheating.com today to learn more. Oregon CCV number 245538. Washington license SKYHEHA870L6.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:30 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today on this Wednesday. Let's take a look at what's in the news. And last night, primary election night in the state of Washington, handful of local races involved here in Klickitat and Skamania counties, most notably Fort Vancouver Library District, their levy lid lift. Of course, that involves also Clark and Cowlitz County. After the first set of vote counts last night, there'll be more counts announced today. That levy lid lift is passing in the Library District. 42,987 voting yes, 52.8%, 38,372 no, 47.2%. In Stevenson, there were three different primaries with three candidates to narrow to two for the November general election. For mayor, Jenny Collins Taylor, 292 votes. Scott Anderson, 141. Lucy E.J. Louser with 14 votes. For position one on the Stevenson City Council, Tina Van Pelt, 329 votes. Lashiel Springer, 78. Christy Morris trailing with 36. And for position two, Aaron Theresa Morris, 235 votes. Jeff Breckel, 145, and Paul Goins with 60. Also in Bingen, the 0.1% increase in the sales tax for public safety, that is being approved easily. 63 votes yes, 9 votes no. And more counts will be announced by Klickitat and Skamania County election offices later on today. There will be an assistance event today in Lisle from 4 to 8 for those affected by the Burdoyne fire. Walk-in resources will be available at the Lisle Lions Community Center. It'll be a one-stop spot for recovery resources with local and regional agencies on site to offer assistance, answer questions, and connect people with services. No appointment is needed. At the nearby Lisle School cafeteria, donation pickup will take place. You'll be stocked with essentials like towels, bedding, plates, cups, toiletries, perishable and non-perishable food, and lots of clothing of all ages. Both locations open from 4 to 8 today. Before that, at 2 o'clock, Klickitat County Commission holding a special meeting to hear from those affected by the Burdoyne fire. That's from 2 to 3:30. That is at the Lisle Lions Community Center. Operations at the City of the Dalles Wastewater Treatment Plant are not yet back in compliance after a recent plant upset that resulted in discharge to the Columbia River of treated wastewater exceeding the plant's limit for E. coli. City officials say on Sunday samples were taken in prearranged locations in the Columbia River to determine the effect of the discharge on water quality in the river. Tests on five samples taken between River Mile 180 and 189.5 show E. coli levels at the sample locations were well below bacterial criteria set by the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality for freshwater recreation. As a precaution, signs remain in place at locations of public river access until the discharge from the wastewater treatment plant returns to compliance. Oregon is expected to lose nearly $1 billion in revenue in the next 2 years due to the tax cuts in President Donald Trump's signature legislation that passed Congress last month, according to a state analysis. It was conducted by the nonprofit Legislative Revenue Office, determining Oregon could lose out on roughly $972 million in the two-year budget period that began in July based on various federal tax changes that will flow down to the state. The weather forecast, well, cloudy this morning with a good chance of showers around. Might see a little sun this afternoon. Still a chance of showers, highs in the 70s to low 80s. And the west wind at 15 miles per hour could gust to 25 in the eastern part of the gorge. Our current temperatures, we can tell you in Hood River, it is 60. In the Dalles, it is 62. Mid-Columbia Mornings Time, 8:33. Coming up next, Tim Shampooey, who is school administrator for the next door. We'll talk to him after this.
David is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Nice to meet you. My name is David. I've been a pharmacist for 44 years, and I'm from Flowery Branch, Georgia. when I first started taking Prevagen, I noticed stuff just seemed to come together and fit like a jigsaw puzzle. When I have customers come in, I recommend Prevagen. Number one, because it's safe and effective, does not require a prescription. And I've been taking it quite a while myself, and I know it works. I wouldn't recommend something like Prevagen if I didn't think it was worth it, because it works so good for me. And I love it when the customers come back in and tell me, David, that really works so good. Makes my day.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Hi, it's Melissa Del Carpine here. Did you know 10 minutes is about the time it takes to make your morning coffee, finish a good dad joke, and drive to our new shop?
Yep.
We moved up the hill on Eagle Loop in Odell with more parking and in a beautiful setting. Same unbeatable service for all your vehicles. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. We look forward to welcoming you to our new home in Odell. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all. We're gorge grown and gorge strong.
Hawaiian Hoedown. That's the theme for this year's Klickitat County Fair, August 14th through the 17th. $5 daily will get you into this year's fair opening at 8 a.m. or get an all-seasons pass for $10. Kids under 6 free when accompanied by an adult. Your ticket to fun includes NPRA Rodeo Saturday and Sunday, daily entertainment from the Reno stage, and Countryfied Friday and Saturday evening. Aloha from the Klickitat County Fair. See our complete schedule at klickitatcountyfair.com.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is now 8:36 in the morning. I'm in Columbia Today. Now joining us on the phone from the next door, School Administrator Tim Shampooey. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
All right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
And school administrator for the next door, of course, now this involves two schools, doesn't it, Tim? You've got one in Hood River and one in the Dalles, and they are similar yet a little different in their own ways.
That's correct. Yeah, we have one school in Hood River that is for kids that have been in, like, the Oregon Youth Authority. Mm-hmm. And so they get referred to us, and we see those kids. So they've kind of already been in trouble. And our school in the Dalles, the Kelly Avenue School, it's kids that are referred from the North Wasco School District, Hood River School District, as well as, like, Duther School District. And it's like a day treatment program. The four kids are actually in trouble with the court system.
What grade levels do you work with at these two schools?
That's a great question, Mark. We work with pretty much high school kids in Hood River, but in the Dalles, we work with middle school through high school.
Mm-hmm. In the Dalles, as you mentioned, there's two big differences here. Number one, you do work with some younger kids, and number two, also, you know, you're dealing those are kids that have been identified, and really, you're trying to keep them from ending up in the trouble that some of your students at Clare House have found themselves in. So how does the approach differ there?
Well, the biggest approach is we're reacting at the Clare House to, mm-hmm. to what the skills that the kids are lacking. Mm-hmm. In the Kelly Avenue School, we are taking a proactive approach. We're trying to teach these skills that they need, communication, relational, all these skills that they need to be successful so they don't end up there. So that's the different approach, is we're just trying to catch the lagging skills that they have early and help them out. All the kids that we have trauma, so we come at it the same technique with trauma-informed care, trauma-informed learning. But one is just we're getting to the kids a little sooner than the other kids.
Well, and I would suspect, I would think this isn't anything unlike other educational issues we deal with young people. The sooner we can address the problem, I would think the better the outcome is, isn't it?
You know, that is really true. So the sooner we can do it and find these skills, the sooner the kids are going to be more able to be in public school or a work setting without having a lot of issues. With that said, it really takes a whole community to identify these issues. So we get to them as soon as we can, as soon as somebody else can identify the issues and refer them to us.
Mm-hmm. With the Kelly Avenue School, I mean, you mentioned again, you got middle and high school there, and they get referred to you through the school districts. Is there more of an emphasis there on, you know, giving the kids these skills where they can then go back to the mainstream classroom, if you will? Where I always got the impression with Clare House, with you're dealing with these older high schoolers, it's more about getting them the education that they need. Is that accurate?
Mark, actually, both schools, we would love to see these kids go back to public school. And so they're both day treatment programs. So sure. we're having counseling going on. We're having therapeutic skills groups. They're seeing whatever type of therapist they need for what their court's asking them to do. Mm-hmm. So it's all therapy, but we throw the educational piece in there because we know that kids need to have education. So that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a given that again you throw the therapeutic piece in with all this. I would imagine that one of the challenges you have is with the educational piece is keeping kids, while getting them the treatment they need and the skills they need to succeed in the classroom, but also enabling them to be able to keep up educationally. And so when they go back to a public school, they can step in and they're at the grade level that you would expect them to be at.
100%. A lot of times the kids that come to us are kids that have such behaviors where they're either been expelled from school or they have been in and out of facilities, detention centers, so they've missed a lot of school. So they come to us deficit. How we can help catch them up and get them to grade level when they go back is our model. Our model is that when we help with their trauma, so we're treating their trauma, we know that kids that are in crisis don't learn very well. So if we can minimize their crisis, help them through their trauma, they're open up to learning. Plus our classroom sizes are small. So we have small classroom sizes. We have some of the best educators in the Gorge educating them. We do a lot of thematical units, experiential learning, a lot of hands-on learning. And so we're meeting the kids where they're at, and then we're sitting up expectations where they reach the bar, we raise the bar, that we reach the bar, we raise the bar. Mm-hmm. As soon as they find some success, then that success creates more successes and bigger successes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think with a lot of these kids, as you mentioned, it's hard to learn if you've got all these other issues in your life. I would imagine you find that once you can get some of these kids focused and get them through some of those issues, what you end up finding are kids that certainly have the capabilities of succeeding academically.
Oh, Mark, yes. We have kids that have come to us and never thought they could graduate high school. But through our program, some of these kids have not only graduated high school, but have gone on to college, have gone on to the military, have gone on and done some really great, amazing things. And it's because of having worked through their trauma and then finding these successes, knowing that when they find the success, they find the confidence and the capabilities to do bigger and greater things they never thought they could.
How many kids do you have in these schools? I mean, you have small classroom sizes. I would imagine that there is a demand for these services, obviously. How many are you able to accommodate?
So that's another great question, Mark. At the Clare House, we're able to hold about 16 kids at any given time, and they're referred to us throughout the year. Some of our kids stay in a residential house in the Dalles and come to school in Hood River. Other kids are in Proctor Foster homes throughout Hood River and Wasco County. Mm-hmm. So we can hold about 16 there in the Dalles. We have space for about 12 to 15 youth, and they're also referred throughout the year. So we can maybe see, you know, 20, 30 kids in a year, give or take, how the rotation works.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'd be curious to know, because we were talking, of course, in the summertime, even though I'm watching it rain out the window right now, but which we can use the rain. I'm not knocking that. But the summertime is usually the downtime for students and learning. With your schools, I would think it's a little different, isn't it?
The school in Hood River is pretty much year-round, so the kids come. They do have like a two-week break right after, like normal public school kids do, right after in June, and then they come for a summer session, and then they have 2 weeks off before we go back to our fall session. The kids in the Dalles, so they go towards North Wasco School District, so we don't have a summer program this year there. We have in the past. It's more like credit recovery portion for a school, but the kids are continuing to see their therapists throughout the summer.
I would assume that with kids like this, you do need to keep kind of a structure, don't you, to get them through that summertime.
Yeah, consistency is everything.
Mm-hmm. With these youth that come in, I mean, as we mentioned before, they've gotten in the Clare House case, they're in the Oregon Youth Authority, so they've gotten in some trouble of some kind. But I would think for a lot of them, is part of this also breaking some cycles within their life that have led to these circumstances?
You know, that's a lot what they talk about in the therapy and and in our education piece, we always like to talk about that you're not who your past are, you're not who your parents are. You can break these cycles of generational poverty, generational gang members. These are all things that you can choose to get through, and you can rise above where you came from.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm asking this because Kelly Avenue, as you mentioned, is a little more that they're coming from the local school districts. Clare House from the Oregon Youth Authority. Are there many schools like this around in the state of Oregon? That, you know, I would imagine there probably have to be some others, but are there other schools?
There are other schools like the Clare House. The Clare House is a little different model because some of these schools that do therapy like that, they're all residential. The kids stay in the one building, they go to school in that building, they sleep in that building. We have our kids go to Proctor Foster homes. We have a residential house that they sleep at, but they are transported over to Hood River. So it's a little different. But there are probably about, the last I heard, maybe about 25 to 30 of these treatment, day treatment schools in the state of Oregon.
I would imagine, I mean, are there some advantages to being that way rather than residential for these youth to be able to, they go through, you know, all the therapy, they go through their education at the school, and then to go back to a more home-like setting, are there advantages to that?
You know, some of our kids, most of our kids that are in the Clare House, they haven't all come from stable home lives. So being able to give them in the foster homes, to give them a family-like situation where they have people that care about them every day, sit down and talk to them and have a meal with them, set up expectations and discipline and all of those things, that is really helpful and healthy for these youth. So that's how our model differs a little bit, because we're giving them a sense of, this is what a core nuclear family looks like. This is how it should feel like to be loved. This is how it should feel like to be just a kid. A lot of these kids have had to grow up at very young ages, doing things and seeing things that most adults shouldn't do or see.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think that also probably that I would think is part of the catching up for these kids, and also it would be, I guess, as I think about this, you know, it reinforces actually what you're teaching in the classroom on the therapeutic side is that this does exist. I mean, I think it's one thing you can tell kids, oh, this is how it should be. It's another thing for them to be able to see that it actually does exist and can happen for them.
Yes, exactly. You know, sometimes they've gone to school or they see their friends and they hear this elusive fairy tale of a home life that doesn't have alcohol, abuse, and trauma. We let them see that, yeah, that's not a fairy tale, that's reality, mm-hmm. and you can attain this reality.
Mm-hmm. Tim,
you deserve this reality.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, I've got a couple more minutes here. I want to ask you, how do these schools get funded, by the way? I mean, I would imagine you get D21 in Hood River County School District at Kelly Avenue, so I imagine some of it comes through their sources.
Yeah, most of our stuff comes from day treatment through insurance.
Mm-hmm.
The Clare House gets funded through Oregon Department of Education. Mm-hmm. It's a part of a program called Long-Term Care and Treatment. And so we do get some funds from Oregon Department of Education, and then we get funds for the mental health and therapy side of things as well through insurance pay.
Mm-hmm. On the foster parent side, I mean, obviously this is a big need. We've talked to the foster parenting folks at the next door before on the show. How are you doing on the foster parent side?
You know, I'm glad you asked. We need foster parents. We have such a need for people to take these kids in and love them and open their home to them. We definitely need some foster parents.
And we should know the next door, of course, recruits them. And if you'd like to be a foster parent or interested in it, just contact the next door either through their website, nextdoorinc.org, or give them a call either in the Dalles or in a Hood River, and you can get connected with somebody to help you out and you can learn about it.
Yeah, if they want to just even shoot an email at fosterinfo@thenextdoorinc.org, we'll get back in touch with them. Have them schedule for some training if they're interested. They can actually reach out and just talk to me individually too, as I'm the new foster parent recruiter as well.
Oh, okay. you've got another hat on. All right. That was foster. I'm sorry. One more time on the email.
It's fosterinfo@nextdoorinc.org.
Okay. fosterinfo@nextdoorinc.org. You can learn all about being a foster parent through the next door. Tim Shampoo is with us. Tim, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. Always great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. It's 8:52 in the morning. We'll come back and wrap things up for you after this.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians. And recent wildfires have provided some important lessons. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step one. Contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step 2. Create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step 3. Gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/prepare now to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bi-Coastal Media, C.H. Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope. This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus, and it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com to tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gill's Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagas, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, Bi-Mart, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
When you've got real work to do, metal supermarkets will help you get it done fast. With a huge variety of metals in stock, we can help no matter what job comes your way. And we cut to size, because just like taxes and BS, we think metal is better when cut. Metal supermarkets, the convenient stores for metal. Find a store or shop online at metalsupermarkets.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. And it is now 8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Tomorrow on this show, Leah Lowe is going to join us from Wasco County 4-H. We'll talk a little about the Wasco County Fair and what 4-H and FFA have got going on down in Tie Valley. That is just a little more than a week. Actually, really, I guess it is just a week away, next weekend. So we will talk about that with Leah on the show. I'm sure we'll do something else as well on the program. Should remind everybody again that... The things going on today in Lisle in regard to the Burdoin fire. 2 o'clock today, Clickitat County Commission is going to hold a meeting. And from the description I got, 2 to 3:30 today, and basically they're just trying to find out what those affected by the Burdoin fire, what they need, and hear their stories, etc. So it's kind of a listening session for them. That's 2 to 3:30, Lisle Community Center. Then from 4 to 8, there is going to be an assistance event. They're going to have recovery resources, local and regional agencies on site to offer assistance, answer questions, connect people with services. That's 4 to 8 today at the Lisle Lions Community Center, and no appointments needed to attend that. And also at the Lisle School Cafeteria, this is also 4 to 8 today. They're going to have donation pickup. It's going to be stocked with essentials like towels, beddings, plates, cups, toiletries, perishable and non-perishable food, a lot of clothing for all ages. Again, that's 4 to 8 today as well. That's at the Lisle School Cafeteria. So a lot of things going on in regard to beginning recovery from the Burdoin fire today. So keep that in mind as you are out there. I also mentioned for Cruise the Gorge tomorrow on Friday evening. I'm trying to move up the calendar today. Don't want to do that. Friday evening, 6 to 9, you'll hear it on News Radio 1300 and 103.9 and also on 93.5 KCFM. Jonathan Ross will have cruising music from 6 to 9 in the evening on Friday. So if you're going to be cruising in the Dalles on Friday evening, Jonathan will be curating some appropriate music to do so, to cruise in your car by. And again, that'll be Friday evening, 6 to 9. We're out of time. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for being a part of the morning. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.